You're listening to Halton Community Radio. I'm Mark.
And I'm Catherine.
And this is the second half of the Sunday Sports Show. A very big hello to Runcorn Midland Units manager, Steve Wilkes.
Good afternoon.
How are you, Steve?
I'm not so bad, thank you.
Thanks for coming all this way. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a bit different for us because we had a few chats this season. They've been like 5 minute interviews behind the toilet.
So like sheds.
Yeah, it's not not been ideal, and it's nice to get in the studio. We can have a proper chat at last. And what we want to do is also introduce you to some of the Linnets fans who don't go games and won't know what you're about. We know what you're about. We think you're a great manager, to tell you the truth. Some people won't know you, won't know your way of doing things, and just maybe introduce you to them. And we hope over the coming months you'll be a regular visitor into the Halton Community Radio studios. Not you've much. Met Catherine. You're happy with that?
Yeah, very nice.
Stop it.
What we need from the listeners today is we need... A lot of people have emailed in with questions for Steve, and we're going to go through them a bit later in the hour. Steve, a long and distinguished career. Do you want to talk us through it? Where did you begin your playing career?
When I left school at 16, I signed a two-year, what they used to call it, a YTS for Wigan Athletic. Wigan were then in the old fourth division. Going back to 1983 now, when I left school. Two great years as an apprentice. You know, learning everything from cleaning boots to cleaning toilets, cleaning stands, cleaning baths.
You know. Does that still happen these days, the YTS?
I don't think so. I think it should, because I think it puts people, and gives them a perspective of, you know, unfortunately nowadays these kids are on a lot of money when they're starting out.
And what sort of, what years are we looking at here?
This is 83 to 85, I was an apprentice. You know, Wigan had some good players then.
Is this the time of the Three Amigos?
Who's the Three Amigos?
Wigan signed three Spaniards.
No, that was later on.
They drew Runcorn in the FA Cup around that time. And we drew at home, and then they tatered us away about 4-0.
No, that was a bit, I think the Spanish lads came a little bit after me.
I can't remember the names.
Okay. But yeah, we had some good times, some good players there. People like Paul Jewell, Steve Walsh, who was at Leicester, went on to play for Leicester, Mike Newell. You know, they were all there, so...
And a manager. Who was the manager?
The manager when I took over was a gentleman called Harry McNally, who unfortunately passed away a few years ago. He used to call him the Mad Monk. And believe me, he was mad. I mean, he used to be a builder before he took the job at Wigan. And he had one of these green, like, pickup trucks that he used to make all the apprentices travel to.
A Steve pickup truck.
He used to make all the apprentices travel in the back of it on the way to training, whether it was snowing, raining, or,
brilliant.
You know, so I had a bit of a hard upbringing. But he then got sacked, I think it was 85, and Brian Hamilton took over, the ex-Northern Ireland manager.
I think he was in charge when they played, wasn't he?
Yeah, obviously my YTS contract come to an end, so I got offered a 12-month pro contract under Brian. Unfortunately for myself, the team was doing very well, and they got promoted that year, so I never really got a look in. Got released in the summer, and I had a dream move to me. Hometown club of Preston, so signed for Preston for 2 years as a pro.
Now this is of particular interest to me because those 2 years, I reckon, I was there. That's when I did my college.
I remember you.
Yeah, the only one in the crowd. Was this when they had a plastic pitch?
Yeah, I signed the year they put the plastic pitch down, under John McGrath. Fantastic manager, fantastic bloke. Some of the stories I could tell you about John McGrath probably be couldn't hear.
Broadcastable.
Broadcastable, as you say, yeah. But yeah, great times, unfortunately. Sadly, John passed away a couple of Christmases ago, apparently, while he was cooking this Christmas dinner on Christmas Day. But, I mean, if you ask anybody who knows him, what a fantastic bloke. I had 2 years there, and same again, the second season, well, the first season, actually, we got promoted, and the second season when we went up, they had a good side, never really got a look in. To be honest, just, unfortunately, wasn't good enough, you know, in my own words, it's funny because John's words to me when I was released at the end of the summer was, you're the best fullback I've ever worked with, but you're 6 inches too small.
Right.
Now, if he'd have just said to me, I don't think you're good enough, I'd have took that on the chin more, you see. So, After that,
any good players there? I mean, I've spoke to people and said Frank Worthington was there, and they said no, he wasn't.
He was. It's funny because obviously when you go to away games and sometimes you go as like 14s because only like two or three subs then them days. And me and Frank used to room together.
Yeah.
You know, absolute legend. You know, and it's funny because I was on holiday about 4 years ago in Greece somewhere, and I was walking down the beach with the family, and he heard this grunt from behind, Steve Wilkes, and he was in his deep voice, and it was Frank, so it was nice of him to remember me, you know. But an absolute legend. Sam Allardyce was there.
Yeah.
You know, so there's been some...
I used to enjoy going to Deepdale. I hated the plastic pitch, because I played for college and we used to have to play on that, and I hated it.
Well, we trained on it every day, and they do say that people that have trained on it and played on it, it takes 2 or 3 years off your career. And I can understand that, because if I join in training now on a Thursday night, Friday morning I can't walk, my ankles and my knees, you know. You know, people like Alan Kelly, the goalkeeper, they say he, you know, finished his career earlier than it should have done. Great players like Brian Mooney, you know.
It's the thing at that time, it was the future, wasn't it?
I think it's different from the 3G ones they've got now. The 3G ones are different now.
We looked at one at Kers and Ashton, didn't we, which looked
fantastic.
Tremendous stuff.
Yeah.
So, from Preston...
From Preston, I went to Holland and played, signed for...
That's took me by surprise.
not many people know that. I mean, I didn't stay there long because it was 1988. They just won the European Championships. And in Holland, would you believe, I mean, I was on £100 a week at Preston. And I got a contract for £650 a week, which is like absolute mega bucks. But what they didn't tell you was that it was for PSV's second team, what they called EVV, Eindhoven. And you also had to work during the day,
right?
And trained at night. This didn't get, you know, told to me before I went. I think it lasted 2.5 weeks, and it was funny because they just won the championships and they didn't want to speak to anybody from England. So it was like I was stuck in the hotel all day on my own. My wife, as she is now, was expecting she had about 4 or 5 weeks to go with my first child. So I just up sticks and came home.
Not a great experience.
No. So. And then I signed for Southport, had a fantastic year at Southport, played 26 games for Southport, scoring 18 goals, so...
From full-back or from midfield?
No, played wide right. Played wide right and up front with a gentleman called Bobby Thompson, the big Scottish bloke, I'm sure Blackpool fans will remember Bobby Thompson, but in the summer, signed for Morecambe, and unfortunately, that's when there'd be a car crash, that I didn't play then for 2.5 years, so... I think I only played 3 or 4 games for Morecambe.
When you were playing Southport and Morecambe, was you always steering yourself towards management? Was that always?
No, not at all. Never thought about it. The management thing came about, strangely enough, after I'd gone to Darwin. I'd played at Darwin I went to Bamber Bridge after when I started again after the car crash. Bamber Bridge gave me the chance, you know, to, because I got told I'd never play football again. So Bamber Bridge gave me that chance. You know, my son's at Banbridge now, so I've got a lot of connections and thank them for that.
Was that the year they did well in the Vars? Was that the semi-final?
The year we got to the semi-final, yeah.
But that was an experience as well.
Fantastic experience. You know, when you think yourself, you're only like 20 minutes away from Wembley, and then unfortunately the goalkeeper made a mistake and threw two in the last 20 minutes. Hard pill to swallow even today.
Yeah,
you know, it was back in, that was 1992, that. I remember it was about...
Correct.
I remember it because it was a guild year at Preston, that's the only reason I remember it. But just a fantastic experience, you know. I've tried to tell my players that the further you go in the Vars, the better the experience gets. You get the overnight stays with the players, you know, you get the camaraderie together, and it's just a fantastic, once you get on that roll. And you know, Kirkham have proved it last year that it can be done from a team from our league, so hopefully we can continue that on Sunday. If Bake Up turn up.
Yeah, hopefully. strange side, Bake Up Borough.
Well, I mean...
We'll get onto the ins and outs of the teams we play against a bit later, but...
But yeah, the management thing, Mark, I went to... I left Bamber Bridge and went to Darwin, and I played the back end of the season, and they named me captain at the beginning of the season. So the first season I was... first full season at Darwin, I was captain. And then the manager got sacked in the summer. And funnily enough, the chair lady was the manager's brother. So she rang me up, She said she spoke to one or two players and they wondered if I would take the job on. I was only 29 at the time and I thought, you know, I had to think about it. And I thought, well, why not? And the rest, as they say, is history.
Darwin. Some strange comings and goings at Darwin, isn't it?
It's a shame, really, because, like I say, they were the first club that gave me my experience in manager, as a manager, so, you know, you always look for them.
For people that probably don't know what we're talking about, there's an ownership issue at the moment with Darwin, isn't there?
Yeah, when the chair lady that was with me left, she sold it to a gentleman called Kevin Henry. He took it on, and then 12 months later, sold it to a gentleman called Ted Ward, who came in with all these big plans that he was going to spend, I think he said, £30 million,
Massive stadium and things.
Massive stadium. He'd been to America to look at a stadium, he was going to model the ground on that, he was going to put a Sainsbury's on, all that, you know.
Yeah.
Never paid any of the players. All the cheques were bouncing, you know. Allegedly.
Yeah.
And then, my eldest son, Lewis, played at the back end of last season on loan from Bamber Bridge to get himself a bit of experience, and he got a cheque and it bounced three times at the end of the season. And then, you know, you hear that Kevin Henry, who was in charge, hadn't been paid his money. I think he was all about £12,000-£13,000, and now they're in court and it's a big wrangle there, so yeah, it's a shame, really.
Incredible. Not great for football. From there, you moved to where we first came across you, really, at Paddyham.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Paddyham move came, really. It was a strange one, really, because the last game of the season, the second to last game of the season at Darwin, we needed 4 points to get promoted, and we beat Paddyham 5-1, therefore needing a draw from the last game of the season at home to Flixton, we drew one apiece. So we got promoted, and then 2 weeks after we were promoted, they said that Darwin had played an eligible player at Leek one Tuesday night in April, when we'd lost the game 6-0, and they took 3 points of us and we didn't get promoted. It wasn't a slur on anybody.
Nobody's fault.
No, it was just one of those things that, and funnily enough, the gentleman that wasn't supposed to be playing is now manager of Darwin. I spoke to Paddyham, asked them if they wanted me to send a CV, and Alan Smith, the secretary, just had come down for an interview on the Tuesday, which I did, and they offered me the job on the Wednesday.
Superb stuff. You're listening to the Sunday Sports Show on Halton Community Radio, and we're chatting away with Steve Wilkes. We've been through Steve's past and what he's done, but we very much want to talk about the here and now. What have you been with him? It's 9 months, is it?
January, middle of January. Started,
and this last 7 days, probably seven of the most turbulent days since you took over, I would think.
Yeah, we've had a tough week. Obviously, people don't know that we played Paddyham last Sunday in the FA Vars, which was a strange occasion for myself. You know, unfortunately, you've got to be professional and get on with it. And the lads did that, albeit, you know, winning in extra time. Unfortunately, then you've got a game less than 48 hours later away at one of your rivals for the title, which will be Newcastle. Unfortunately, we lost the game 4-0, but that doesn't tell the whole story.
It doesn't.
The ones that were there, although for the first 30 minutes, we were the better team.
Absolutely.
The other side to the coin is that I had 7 players missing on Tuesday. Through work commitments, injuries, holidays.
Family illness.
And family illness, yeah. Scott Dignan's father, who's still hanging on in there. Scott's due home today from Spain, so we wish him all the best. We put a team out that, you know, we did okay. I think class told in the end, we tied a little bit.
They have that, the minor guy.
He's
class apart, isn't he?
I think both of the wide lads were very good. You know, both got pace, which is, you know, something you want from your wide lads. I'll not talk about the referee.
I was just going to say how much you want to say about referees. We've had a couple of, you must go bananas sometimes on some of the decisions.
It's hard because I've played the game, I know what it's about, and to try and not get involved when you get decisions like we did on Tuesday, where I'll try and set the scene for people, is that Newcastle centre forward just kicked out right in front of the referee, took my centre half's two legs from under him, the referee stops the play and booked both players because the number 9 had blood in his mouth, which is just an absolute ridiculous.
He had his back to it.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
I don't want you to criticise the referee. I can quite happily do it for you. He seemed to be trying to preempt play and trying to see where the ball was going rather than watching what was going on half the time and everything.
You look at the second goal they scored from a free kick. It's a fantastic tackle. I asked him after the game why he gave the free kick, and he said because he tackled him from behind. But I said, is there not a difference from tackling from behind, winning the ball, and tackling from behind when you don't win the ball? And he said, no. He said, it's just if you tackle from behind, it's a foul, which in my eyes is not.
It's the, interpretation.
It wasn't a bad tackle. You know, even their lad jumped up and carried on playing, and then he blew his whistle. So, but yeah, I wouldn't like to be a referee. I wouldn't like to do the job because they're on a hiding to nothing, or a linesman. But I just, sometimes they make a rod for their own back by not speaking to you, not explaining themselves, and just coming out with bizarre decisions.
Newcastle, for me, not one of the better sides we've seen this season. They'll be up there, though, won't they, at the end of the season, I think?
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. They've got I think they've only conceded one league goal up until yesterday, all season. They've got two big lads up front, Kinsey and Neville, and then two wide lads that are quite quick. So they're always going to create chances, and if you've got a solid back four, which is, you know, something that we need to look at Runcorn, you're always going to win with a chance.
And on to yesterday. Just another bizarre experience, I would imagine.
You know, I'm not one for having a pop at my players publicly, but I just think that Brian Walsh was silly for what he did. He could have headed it. He said he got a little nudge in the back. I don't know, it's too far away for me to see. But when you go 1-0 up after 2 minutes, you know, the next 10 minutes you don't concede.
This is in about the 10th minute of the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
For them that weren't there, handball stopping a goal chance.
And he said to me after the game, what did you want me to do, let him score? And I said, well, I'd rather him score and have 11 men for 80 minutes than get the penalty, have a chance of scoring and play the rest with 10 men, which we did admirably. You know, I think the lads were stuck to it. We had a game plan at half time, just to get two banks of four, try to, you know, try and catch them on the counter attack. And unfortunately, we let a sloppy goal in 10 minutes from the end, which felt like a defeat sat at home last night.
To tell you the truth, from our point of view, we were more positive after Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's strange, and everybody in the bar afterwards was down. And it was 2-2, and I think, well, 10 men, a point.
I think everyone wants to win the home games. I think, you know, I've found since I've come to Runcorn, which is a fantastic setup, the problem we've got is that every team comes to Runcorn and they like playing at Wembley. The facilities are unbelievable. Well,
the pitch,
you know,
there is
pitch is massive.
Pitch like,
you know, yeah, and for the first 10-15 minutes, teams are like playing the best probably they've played all season against us, and we've got to match that. You know, we've got to roll with sleeves up. The players have got to dig in, set with stall out, don't concede an early goal, and we just, I mean, we're conceding far, far too many goals at the moment.
Yeah. We'll move on to some of the players that you've brought in. It's pretty much now a clean slate, isn't it, from what we had 12 months ago? I hate to single anyone out, but Nehru McKenzie, what a player he's been, what a find. Can we keep him?
Yes, he's. I'm sure people will be pleased to hear this, probably an exclusive. Nehru signed a contract yesterday. He's at the club for 12 months now, nobody can touch him.
That's fantastic news.
You know, it's something that I must thank the board for. Derek, Lynn and Rob Johnson have worked very hard.
It's a difficult thing to do at that level. And
very
to
much
tie
so.
Him down, I think that's tremendous news for the fans as well.
So yeah, Nehru's with us. Unfortunately, we won't see him for the next month because he's still got 4 weeks left.
This is a ban from Sunday League. Can we talk about this?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's not Sunday League. It's a Saturday League game.
Is it? Have you banned that now? Can they still play for other clubs when they're with us? I suppose Nehru can't now.
Well, it's funny because wherever I've been as a manager, I've banned Sunday football.
Yeah.
If anybody plays Sunday football, I don't think they should be playing Sunday football when they're getting a wage on a Saturday or expenses on a Saturday. If people play in a Sunday football and I find out that they play on a Sunday, then they'll be fined a week's wages. It's as simple as that. Because especially if you've got a game Tuesday, because if you're playing Saturday, Sunday, you're not going to be 100% fit for Tuesday.
No
so
chance.
We've banned it. We don't want the players to play on a Sunday. If I find out any players are playing Sunday, like I say, then they'll be hit in the pocket.
Michael Morrison. I adore Michael Morrison. And I'm not his biggest fan. He's a bigger fan than me. I think his work rate is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I had Michael with me at Padiham 18 months ago. And he was a find because when he came to us, he was a centre midfield player. And we converted him to a centre forward, and he played 7 games and scored 13 goals. Unfortunately, then, I'm sure some people are aware of, he got a prison sentence for 18 months, which he's served, and has come out. And I still think, and people probably won't believe me when I say this, there's more to come from Michael Morris, and even himself, you know, will admit that. I just think at the moment he's trying too hard. You know, he's got 6 bookings now in 7 games this season because he's, like you say, his work rate is phenomenal.
We're trying to make him player as well.
We're trying to make him work in the right areas instead of closing fullbacks down. You know, we want him closing centre halves down. Let the wingers do that job. But he just seems to be doing other people's jobs at the moment.
I think you'd bet the best player. Oh, the best person you brought to the club is Cunningham, but not Steve. I think it's his dad. I think his dad is absolutely tremendous, and the morale that he brings to the terraces is unbelievable.
I think that, and that comes off with Steve as well, because, yeah. I mean, you know, I spoke to Steve after the Salford game last season, asked him what he was doing this season, and he said he'd give me a ring, which he did. We had a chat, and the first thing he said to me was, "I'm a winner, and I want to be your club captain." You know, we hadn't even spoke about anything else. You know, I want to be the captain. I know what your fans are like. They're fantastic. He said, "I want to be a winner. I want to be your club captain." So, you know, we had a little bit of a laugh about it. But as the pre-season games went on, you could see this was coming out in him. And he was bringing, you know, we've had Barney's already this season. You know, it's funny because I wasn't going to slag the players off or give them a rollicking at Curzon Ashton because I thought we'd done okay. All right, it's a 4-0 defeat, and sometimes when you get beat 4-0, you do need to do that. But I said, let's move on from it, and Cunny, you know, true to his words, stood up and said, no, let's not move on. We were poor today. You know, we need to be better. So, we've missed him as well these last 2 weeks. Unfortunately, he's another one that's on holiday. Apparently his girlfriend's a police lady and she can only get the first 2 weeks in September off, so
this is at this level. This is the things that happen at this level. One of the other things that happens is this level. At this level is Dave Thompson.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of Runcorn fans out there like myself disappointed today that Dave's left the club. You know, like I said, I've been here 8 or 9 months now, and sometimes me and David have not seen eye to eye. And David will be the first to admit that, this is not me blowing my own trumpet, that since I come in, I've tried to make the players a bit more professional than they are. David wasn't used to that, you know, turning up in jeans for games when we had a club shirt and tie, and silly things that he'd never turn up for training. I mean, the back end of last season, he turned up for one training session out of the last 7. Great ability on the pitch, you know. We left him out last Sunday. It was funny, actually, because I spoke to the Newcastle manager after the game on Tuesday, as you do with, you know, you have a chat, and he asked me where Dave Thompson was, and I told him that I got a text message that morning saying that Dave was at work, and he said, oh, that's surprising, because I thought he'd signed for Warrington. Well, this was before anything I'd knew, you see, and I said, oh, what makes you ask that? And he said that he was talking to Paul Moore, the Warrington manager, and that they were after Dave Thompson, and they were going to be signing him in the next week. Lo and behold, Wednesday morning, we get an email, albeit to the wrong person, saying that they were going to put 7 days in on Dave Thompson. I spoke to Dave, telling him that I didn't want him to leave, I'm not, because I've played the game, I'm not going to be standing in people's way to go and play higher. They've offered him a hell of a lot more money than we ever could.
We're in town, Unibond North now, aren't we?
Yeah.
So it's a step up.
Of course it is, yeah. And I'd never stand. I mean, if he was going to an AFC Liverpool or a Formby or someone like that, then I'd be advising him against it. We've left the door open for him. You know, like I say, I haven't fallen out with Dave. I've told him if it doesn't work in 2 or 3 weeks, you know, give us a ring and we'll welcome him back with open arms. I think the big pull for Tomo was his cousin, Thomas Lamb.
Thomas Lamb, yeah, of course.
You know, who I think has been doing the deal for him, but I won't say behind our backs, but I think he's been because I spoke to Paul Moore on Thursday and I said to him, what do you think of Dave Thompson? And his exact words were, I've never seen him play. So I'm sure Alex Ferguson wouldn't go and watch a centre forward, sign a centre forward he's not seen to watch. So
on that, I think we'll just have a couple of minutes.
But I will let me just say to the Runcorn fans that Michael Young is not going anywhere. I've spoke to him today, so he can all rest at ease.
See, that's the worry, is that
of course it is.
In the day they were a band of three,
Of course it is.
And that was the worry with Young.
Of course it is. And I think now you will see Michael Young, and this is no slur on Dave Thompson or Thomas Lamb or anybody like that that's been at the club. I think what you'll see now is that Michael Young will come out of his shell a little bit, because this season Michael Young's not been Michael Young. You know, he's been away on holiday. He was suspended for the first two games of the season, and then lo and behold, another suspension comes in from Sunday football. You know, so he was suspended for another two games. This week he's been in Austria with work, so he's missed another two games. Mm. You know, so he's not got a start yet. So,
yeah, listening to the Sunday Sports Show, Halton Community Radio. We've had about 40 emails. So we're just going to be spontaneous with this, really, and just fire some questions at you.
Spontaneously.
If that's all right with you.
Bananas and pineapples, get them all now. Why not?
Some of these questions are good, and to tell you the truth, I think some of them are a bit naff. So whoever said, who's your favourite celebrity? You know, we're not really bothered, are we? So we'll just fire some off. This is from Mike. How far up the non-league pyramid of football do you believe you can take on Uncle Linnets?
Good question. I think once the club get back to Runcorn, I think that'll help everybody, help me as a manager, because hopefully then you'll get more people through the turnstile. You know, I've spoke to people, spectators, board members, ex-players, and they think that once we get back to Runcorn, we're going to be getting 400 or 500 people on every week, which is fantastic, because obviously, unfortunately, non-league football is a bit like Premier League football. The more money you have, the further you can go. I mean, you've only got to speak to Man City fans this week and they think they're going to win the World Cup. You know, so as soon as we get back to Runcorn, I think you'll see a different...
That takes care of Rob's question, how much you're looking forward to coming back to Runcorn. We'll skip that one. John, who's the best player you've played with and who's the best player you've played against?
The best player I've played with is obviously going to be Frank Worthington from my Preston days. The best player I've played against, there's two really. Individually, because I used to play wide right as a young lad for Wigan Reserves. We played away at Nottingham Forest, and I had a gentleman called Stuart Pearce up against me, who had the biggest thighs, calves you've ever seen. But the best player I think I've ever played against would be Paul Gascoigne.
When,
yeah, but the same age. Fortunately, he had a bit of a break and I didn't. But a great lad as well off the pitch as well.
You drink more than him as well.
No, he drinks more than me.
How many hours of your week are taken up managing the Linnets? This is, Steve?
Quite a bit. I'm sure if you ask my wife, she'll say that she never sees me. You take last week, for example. Last Monday night, I went to watch Allerton Collieries because we play them this Tuesday. Wednesday, we was at... Tuesday night we was at Newcastle. Thursday we were training. Saturday we had a game. You know, so quite a few hours really. Quite a few.
Superb stuff. A topical one. I'm not putting a name to this. Do the board of the Linnets give you full control over transfer policy at the club?
That's a simple question, yes. I mean, they have. I mean, it's like I say, sometimes, I mean, I've been here 8 months now, and the board have been fantastic with me. And long may it continue.
Sorry to Rob, because we've answered this one. We see your family at most matches. They're very supportive of you. Yes, they are, so we'll skip that one.
I think you see both my kids that come every week. They've all got their Runcorn kit on, so yeah, they love it.
If you could sign any player to come and play for the Linnets, who would it be?
A non-league player or any player?
I'd say non-league, but yeah, within reason, I'd
say. Michael Norton, Curzon Ashton centre-forward.
Wholeheartedly agree. Are you pleased with the level of support that you receive from the Runcorn fans?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when we get a settled side and we can start getting one or two victories on the bounce, I'm sure that, I mean, disappointing yesterday that we only got 129, I think it were, through the turnstile.
You're up against Liverpool Man U on Sunday, aren't you? It's always going to take a knock off.
Tough one. But the fans have been fantastic. I mean, the players love it, especially when they're singing your name and... Yeah.
Went a bit early yesterday for me, that did. I think it was about 10 minutes into the second half and the Wiltsey chants come out, and I said to Daz, that's too early. Let's get it won and then start singing.
Yeah, true. Very true. But yeah, it's nice when they start singing your name. Yeah. Long may it continue.
It's not good for the broadcasting though, is it? That's about 4 packets of tunes this morning. Jonathan Coyne asks, what do you think it takes to achieve promotion?
A little bit of luck. Try to get a settled side. I think you know, you've got to have defensively you've got to be sound, and unfortunately the last 2 or 3 weeks we've changed, we're back for I think it's 6 out of the last 7 games now, which is no good. We had to change a goalkeeper on Sunday, Unfortunately, if
Robbie's a one match ban.
Robbie's got a one match ban, but you know, I'm sure this will make people cringe that, you know, if he plays on Tuesday, then he goes on holiday next Sunday, which we're disappointed about. He booked his holiday for a 4-day break in Spain from Sunday to Wednesday, but unfortunately the game now against Bacup's on the Sunday, so he's not here, and they've also slotted in the Winsford game, so disappointing to say the least. I've got some good backroom staff, haven't I? You know what I mean? Alan Glover's obviously, he's been on holiday for about 18 months. You can see his suntan. Now Robbie's away, and Paul Baker's been to Turkey, so.
Catherine's looking at me bemused, but when I get this news as a fan, knocks me out of my stride as well.
Yeah, that's, I know what you mean. I know what you're saying.
Last one.
Alright, John Urquhart says, if you were captain in the Ugly Bus, would you bring Pimm's or cider?
Oh, can I not have WKD blue?
No, just Pimm's
aside.
Pimm's.
If he's captaining, can bring what he wants.
Pimm's.
For people that are,
I don't, well, no idea, you don't have to explain the Ugly Bus.
The travel club, which has been run by Glyn Davis for ages and ages, each week now appoint a captain, and the captain of the bus supplies the cakes, and now, you know, there's been liquid refreshment too.
Very good.
John Urk, raised the bar a little. He brought Pimm's and profiteroles and all this posh stuff.
Ooh, I like my profiteroles.
And a big hello to Rob Kelly, who did it Saturday, who came up from Kent. He brought this pear cider and them donuts you get from down south in a big box. Oh, what a day. What a day we had.
With the, oh no, I probably shouldn't say what brand they were.
Go
advertising.
On, we don't care.
Doing with a K.
Yeah, other donuts, yeah, are available.
They are really nice.
Can I just say a big get well to Glyn?
I'm
sure,
yeah,
you'll appreciate Glyn. Glyn Davis has not been so well, so from all the players and my family, I hope he gets well soon.
Nice touch, really nice touch. We've got 13 minutes left and about 40 minutes of stuff to pack into it, and I think we'll just carry on chatting with Steve, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm. One thing we have been doing, and our topic of the week has been your favourite piece of commentary of all time. What's your take on that?
Well, looking at the list, I think I've got to agree with Catherine. It's got to be the number three, Clive Tilsley, Man United versus Bayern Munich.
You're a Man United fan?
Can I say that?
Yes,
of course.
Mate.
Yes, I am, yeah.
I'm a Middlesbrough fan. What do you want me to do? I'm Preston.
Yes, I am, yeah. Obviously, I follow Preston because that's where I'm from, but yeah.
I'm in the same order.
I'm probably upset half the Runcorn fans now, but yes, I'm a Man United fan.
We'll have a look through some of the results from yesterday. The FA Cup springs to mind. Bacup 3, Camel Laird 0.
That's a great result for Bacup, because if people were to ask me what's the best non-league team I've played against as a manager, it would be Camel Laird, with a shadow of a doubt.
They've certainly come on over the last few years. Buxton have done Bootle. Congleton 0, Prescott 2. Flixton 1, Mossley 4. Salford 5, Averton LR 0. Who have we got Tuesday?
Is it Anderson Coles?
Coles. I think they're struggling, aren't they?
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Mark. Yeah. I looked at the league table today. They've played 7, won none, scored 1, and conceded 27.
We'll
so thanks
that.
For that.
We'll do that, no problem. Sheffield 3, moving swiftly on, Colne 2. In the Prem Division yesterday, some interesting scores. Glossop 1, Newcastle 1's obviously the one that we needed, really. That's a good result.
It's like I said to you off air, that's a fantastic result for us because they're both up there. And I think I don't know if Glossop will sustain how they've started, but yeah, it's a good result for us.
New Mills scraped a last minute win.
Moving on.
You know about the Vinnie Brain Challenge we did, don't you?
I've seen it on the website. Yeah,
Vinnie Brain Challenge. I said I'd sponsor Vinnie Brain for a goal, £1 a goal every time he scored, and 2 days later he left the club. So this week I said I'd sponsor Tomo. 2 days later, he's left the club. So, Steve, here's a question for me. Who do you want?
I know what's coming.
You want me to sponsor a player? Who would it be?
No comment.
AFC Liverpool have won again, 5-0. They're going to come up, aren't they?
I think so,
yeah. Can they keep it going off the field as well as on?
I don't know.
I don't know myself.
That's a question you've got to ask.
Their attendance yesterday was 300, considering they're on the box. Yeah. That's not bad at all, is it, maybe? And Squiresgate 3, Main Road 1.
Yeah, good
hopefully
result.
Hopefully we've got them soon.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Are there any nicknames?
What, for me or the players?
Both.
Start with you.
Obviously, my nicknames, Wilksy or the Gaffer. I mean, I don't ask the players to call me Gaffer. If they do, it's nice, but Wilks is my nickname. But there's some nicknames in the dressing room. Steve Pickup's called J-Lo, because of the size of his bum. trying to think.
Jed Courtney.
Bootsy.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Nobody knows, do
no, I'll find that out for you. I think Alan Glover will know that.
Nobody knows that one, Jed Courtney Booty. Yeah.
Mm. Who's your best mate in the team?
My best mate? Oof. That has to be Paul Baker, who's come along as one of the coaches.
Who's got the worst dress sense?
Worst dress? That, I'm sorry, Robbie Holcroft, but it has to be my assistant manager, Robbie, because if you ask the players, he's... Let's say his underwear attire is an absolute disgrace, and he pays a pound fine every week for his silk boxer shorts with lollipops on.
That's a HCR exclusive.
Who's the best dressed?
Oof. The best dressed, I would say, would be Jay Edwards. Always comes with a suit on. Very smart, Jay Edwards.
Who's the joker in the team?
I think it's got to be Steve Cunningham, the skipper. Michael Young likes to play one or two pranks on people. I think we was at somewhere last week. I was a Paddington game last week where Michael Young came in at half time and asked if he could cut Robbie Holcroft's boxer shorts up. But I said he could only do it after if we won the game. So he did that at the end of the game.
If you wrote an autobiography, what would you call it?
Oh, that's good.
He's got nowhere, but we don't care.
Does anybody have any strange superstitions?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm probably one of the most superstitious people you'll ever meet. If we win, I will wear the same socks, boxer shorts.
Unwashed or washed?
No, I don't think my wife would let me not wash them. But I mean, I used to wear contact lenses and my eyes lasered last November, but I always used to put my left contact lens in first before my right. I think Steve Pickup puts his right boot on before his left. You know, just silly things that if I'm chewing a piece of chewing gum that's gone stale and we're winning, I won't get rid of it until the end of the game, and silly things like that. So me, probably.
What's your most memorable game?
As a manager or as a player? Both.
Both.
Ever. Most memorable game ever.
The most memorable game ever would have to be, obviously being a Man United fan, scoring the winner for Wigan Athletic Reserves at Anfield in the 90th minute in the Kop End. So much
this man that we don't know.
I don't even have to start giving it Liverpool bashing. Oh. Coming every week, do it. What is your most embarrassing moment?
Most embarrassing moment? Oof. I'll come back to that one. I'll try and think.
This interview?
No, not at all.
What is your funniest moment?
I think one of the funniest things would be... can't read that. When we was playing for Darwin, I wasn't mind you, just playing, and one of the centre half scored a goal. A lad called Jonathan Smith, 6'4", lad scored the goal. And at the time, there was a programme, I think it was Channel 4, where they used to come round to your house if you'd done anything strange, and used to sit on your bed and torture you. And lo and behold, Jonathan dropped his shorts to celebrate the goal. And being quite a tall lad, shall we say. unfortunately, he pulled his slip down with him as well. So the papers picked it up, and the funniest thing was that then he ended up on Channel 4. So, alongside.
Springs is on nicely.
Who's the longest in the shower?
The longest in the shower. It just depends if my son's in the dressing room, but if he's not, it's definitely Naru McKenzie. Definitely.
Does he take ages?
Absolutely.
You're listening to Halton Community Radio. We're having a great time. Steve Wilkes from Clan Linnet's manager, with myself, Mark, and Catherine. We're running rapidly out of time. We're going to say a massive thank you to Steve Wilkes for coming in. It's been a lot of fun. Hope you do it again very soon.
I've enjoyed it, mate. Can I just say hello to all the listeners that are listening, and especially Godston, my best pal. I've really enjoyed it, I'll definitely be coming back.